KTRC. It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and along with my fellow brokers, are ready to help you with all of your real estate needs. I have a very special guest with me today in the studio, and I'll be introducing him in a few minutes. As always, we have some very useful information segments to share with you. And in the second half of the show, we'll be featuring a unique home during our Open House of the Week segment. Also, go to our website if you need some detailed real estate information or you wish to meet with someone to discuss your own real estate situation. Go to www.santafe.realtypartners.com and click on the radio show icon for answers to all your questions. So join us here on All Things Real Estate by dialing Talk 1260 KTRC at 505-473-5722. Or you can email me, Ray Post, with your questions and comments at rpost@sfrp.com. As you know, we like to begin each show with the State of the Market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Andrew is going to tell us about disclosure issues that are important to you under the new Mortgage Disclosure and Information Act. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Doing fine.
Just when we thought it was safe to go back in the water, the lawmakers send us MDIA, which is, as you said, Mortgage Disclosure Information Act. It's another one of these well-intentioned but seriously flawed programs, or actually mandates from the federal government. The program states a couple of things. It says that the borrower must receive a truth in lending disclosure within 3 days of application. And quite frankly, that was, we always did that. You always supply a truth in lending disclosure. However, in this case, it has to come from the lender and not from the originator, the loan originator. The TIL, the truth in lending disclosure, is based upon APR, annual percentage rate, which is different than nominal interest rate. The equation for annual percentage rate is the loan amount plus certain closing costs. And those closing costs are somewhat variable, times interest rate divided by the number of years in the loan. So APR is a great device for evaluating car loans, but it's not such a good way to evaluate home loans, because it assumes that the borrower is going to keep the loan for 15 or 30 years. And that's usually not true. Even though they have a maturity of 15 or 30 years, they don't keep it that long. So the actual rate is actually not very meaningful. It is only meaningful as a means of comparison. The second part of MDIA is that if the APR changes by more than an eighth of a percent, up or down, we are required to redisclose. Well, that's not a bad idea either, except that at the end of the loan process, a couple of days before closing, you lock the loan and you find out that it's changed by an eighth of a percent. You got to put the brakes on. You say, whoa, I have to send a truth in lending disclosure out to the borrower, which is okay, but then I have to wait another 3 days for that borrower to think about it and make a decision. So the bottom line here is that the disclosure is good. The timing could be a problem, and that is that, you know, if you're pushing processing for a 30-day loan, we're already taxed because of other things that have changed, and it makes it less certain of making that 30-day cutoff. And on top of which, APR is not accurate unless, you know, you're evaluating two separate deals. Thirdly, is that the borrower is not always available to, you know, see these documents. So it creates problems and uncertainty in an already uncertain process.
Well, Andrew, I could tell from your commentary that it's not not a piece of legislation that you're crazy about for sure, and I know that a lot of other lenders and brokers are feeling the same way. Disclosure is important, and I guess the bottom line from a buyer standpoint is that this could delay closings, and that the what they call the 373 day period rule does put a lot of pressure on all of you folks to make sure that you are getting that paperwork done timely, correct?
Absolutely, and you know, real estate agents need to be aware of it as well, because it could affect when their expectation as well.
Well, we all need to do the best with this. Disclosure is important, so hopefully this process will be something we all get into a rhythm and understand and appreciate down the road. But again, thank you, Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate, for your excellent commentary. Again, I remind you that if you're interested in following up with Andrew on this, to go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and go right to Andrew's own link. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I want to welcome my special in-studio guest. He is coming back for another tutorial session. I like to call him the professor. Again, I have Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe Area Manager for Fidelity National Title, in the studio with us today. And we have a rather interesting subject, which can be esoteric from the standpoint of understanding what it's all about. Even we in the business have a hard time getting our arms around the issue of easements, but Steve Riemann is not only someone who is conversant in this subject matter, but he actually instructs this for brokers, so we could not ask for a better person to explain it. And really, most importantly, for you, the listener, to take this concept of easement and make it understandable to you through some examination of actual cases that Steve has had. Welcome to the studio, Steve.
Thanks, Ray. Great to be here.
Well, I appreciate you being back. Again, an easement, just by definition, is the right for someone to make use of another person's property in the simplistic way of defining it, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to take it one step farther.
Very good.
You know my nature.
Yes, sir.
And that is that you actually own an interest in someone else's property.
Mm-hmm.
The right to use someone's property can come from another agreement called the license agreement. But when you own an easement in someone else's property, or they own an easement on your property, they actually own an interest in the real property.
And in New Mexico, an easement can be created by actual use or by deed, correct?
Yes, it can. However, usage of an easement usually takes a court decision to confirm it. We have what we call a prescriptive easement in New Mexico, where if you use someone else's property for a continuous basis, adverse to their will, etc., for 10 years, and you meet certain tests, that easement can become a certifiable or true easement, but it takes the bang of a gavel of a judge to determine.
And I think, again, as I said at the opening of this this conversation, we're going to take this issue of easement, we're going to define it a little bit further, but not make it too much of a classroom kind of setting. But most importantly, we're going to talk about some specific instances where people have dealt with easements, and that will in turn make it much more understandable to the folks that are listening, correct?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
In the 10 years that I've been in Santa Fe, I have seen more easement access and easement problems, difficulties, than I had in the prior 20 years of my experience in other states. So this is a topic that's very timely and very pertinent to Santa Fe.
And obviously you sort of have answered probably one of the first questions that people have. Well, I've heard about easements, but how prevalent are they? And they are very prevalent. And you, as a homeowner, and you as a buyer, need to understand. And there could be an easement situation there that you don't even know is an easement in the making. So talk a little bit about how does someone know whether or not their property is subject to an easement?
Well, and in this case, you're talking about your property being subject
Correct.
To or burdened by an easement.
Yes, sir.
And there are a couple of ways that you need to determine that. One is to look at the title work that comes out to you as the buyer. We send you a package of information about your prospective purchase, and it includes all the recorded documentation as to any easements. For instance, the utility company owns an easement for the 10 feet on your back lot line to install their electric lines, etc. There may be driveway easements, etc., that you need to be disclosed of legally. That's one source of information. The other source of information is from the seller himself. and property disclosures can help there. The seller may have actually granted a right to someone else, a neighbor, etc., to use their property, which becomes a burden to the property, but which you would not necessarily otherwise be aware unless you investigate the property itself, who's using it, who might be using it, as well as the title binder against the property.
And so, again, as part of the definition of an easement, there are several different types of easement. There could be things like a party wall easement. There could be an easement by necessity. There could be an easement by prescription. But I just got an email from someone, because so clearly we're having people listening today. And by the way, if you want to call us here on All Things Real Estate, please dial us at 505-473-5722. But I did get an email from Billy, and he says, I share a driveway with my neighbor. Do we need some kind of easement or agreement, Billy?
You surely do. Okay. Easements for access or joint driveways are fairly commonplace in Santa Fe. And we always say, you know, make an agreement with your neighbor while he's your friendly neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting along with your neighbor, now is a great time to sit with your neighbor, define that easement, define who has the rights to use it, for what purposes, who has the right to transfer it to someone else, or who has the obligation to maintain it. All of that goes into a well-constructed easement agreement
so that your
rights are defined.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Why, for Billy, why is it important for him to have some kind of understanding about this? You know, he's using this driveway. He's been using it for years. His buddy's okay with it. They both drive up the same road. They go to their respective houses. What's the big deal?
I think your use of the word buddy right there. So long as the neighbor is friendly, that's fine. But as soon as the neighbor goes to sell the property and you don't know who's going to move in next door, you may find a contentious party moving in next door. And now those rights that were all comfortable and cordial have now become difficult, and you need to construct them with an adversary as compared to constructing them with a friend.
Now, this is why I asked the question. I knew the professor would give me this answer. Billy, I hope you're understanding this, that even if you do have a very good friend right now and you've been using the driveway for years, Steve Riemann's counsel is that if that neighbor sells the property, you may not have a buddy living next door to you very long. You know, Gino Thompson, my producer, I'm going to take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate because we have so much more we need to talk about easements with my special guest, Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
ATRC.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. I'm joined today in the studio by Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title. We're talking about all things easements. But before we go back into that conversation, I suspect that like most homeowners or renters, there comes a time when you need some expert advice or assistance with a problem that has occurred at your home or condo. Or maybe you've decided that it's time to renovate, replace, or simply redesign something at the place that you call home. Well, if you find yourself in any of these circumstances, then what's most important to you is to identify the very best person or company that can help you meet your needs. We've assembled some of the finest people in the business to help you with your home needs and have placed them on our website under the heading of Real Estate Resources. So help is just around the corner by going to www.santafe.realtypartners.com, clicking on the radio show icon, and then head over to the Real Estate Resources list of service providers. You'll also see our sponsors. Fidelity National Title is one of them. Steve Riemann represents that company, and I encourage you to, during the show or after the show, click on their logo as well and send Steve a hard question because he likes to answer them. I also want to remind you that Santa Fe Realty Partners is on just about every different social networking site available. So I encourage you, and a lot of the folks out there that are listening today are very active in Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn. We even have things on YouTube. So if you are participating in any of those social networking sites, please check out Santa Fe Realty Partners. We'd enjoy the opportunity to have you as one of our fans and friends. Please do that at your leisure. Back to Steve Riemann with Fidelity National Title. Steve, we were talking in the last segment about different types of easement issues, and we just discovered that Gino Thompson, my producer, actually lives near a neighborhood, and his mom does as well, that has an easement in the making. And maybe let's talk a little bit about that, because it creates a real-life scenario. Gino, just before we came back on the air, was describing that there is not an easement, there is an easement situation, but there's not an agreement in place. So, Professor Riemann, what would you recommend to Gino and his mom?
Well, I would sure sit down and let's examine the title to all the properties. Let's pull up whatever documents we can find, and let's talk to the parties about whatever easement might have been created orally or otherwise. In this case, and you see this a lot in any developing town with infill growth, etc., what was once a cozy little lane where two or three homeowners lived off the lane and everybody got along, and when they needed a bucket of dirt or whatever to fill in, then somebody took care of it and all was cordial. Now the beneficial party that owns property that's that benefits from this easement has gotten into a development mode. And what was now a cozy lane, or once was a cozy lane, may likely turn out to be a paved street for 30 or 40 homes. We have a case in California where a woman sold a property to a neighbor. She sold 75 acres of her 80 acres, and she thought he was going to be a farm rancher and just put some cows out there. Mm-hmm. When he filed his development plans for a condominium, and she realized that driveway that passed in front of her home was going to be a thoroughfare for 200 condominium units, she was quite shocked. People need to know what their rights are. They need to know how to protect their rights. And again, like we talked about, contracts keep friends friends. And so when you write that down and create a legitimate easement agreement with a neighbor that's friendly, that's a lot easier than it is developing it with a developer that wants to put in 200 homes in your backyard.
So, Gino Thompson, my producer there, you've got some free counsel from one of the very best in the business. Frankly, it's probably in yours and your mom's and the other neighbors' best interest to actually even consider getting a hold of Steve and talking about how you can make this situation not become a big problem. That's a real-life kind of situation. And you mentioned the word beneficial when you were discussing that. What's the difference between a beneficial easement and one that perhaps isn't?
Okay, well, we had talked about a burden easement, that is, the driveway crosses your property to benefit someone else, or the utility company has an easement across the back of your 10 feet to lay a utility line. Those are what we call burdensome or subject to easements. A beneficial easement is something that you benefit from. And, for instance, an appurtenant easement, and it's just a technical term we use, but it's an easement that's technically outside of your property boundaries, but necessary for the use and enjoyment of your property. There's a particular street here in Santa Fe that I've run title on a number of times, and we've done some closings on it, but there are about a dozen homes on this street, and the street was never legitimately created as an easement. The initial grant of it came from a man who neglected to have his wife join in, which made it an invalid grant. There were foreclosure issues. There are survey issues on this easement. The point is, when you buy this home, and this is a $500,000 and up neighborhood, when you buy this home, is that driveway that you think is your street, and it has a street sign on it, by the way,
right?
Is that street a legitimate street that you have uninterrupted rights to use as your driveway? Mm-hmm. And you can buy those homes, and someone will insure those homes as to your property. But that easement that is outside of your property, but is necessary for the use and enjoyment of your property, needs to be part of your insurance so that someone defends that right for you to enjoy it if problems occur later on down the road.
And to be insured by the title company, that needs to be part of the whole thing.
Yeah, we call it in our office, we call it insured specific access. It's a term commonly accepted in the industry. And the point is, if there's going to be a contest over what your rights are to enjoy this particular piece of property, or other people's rights are, you want the title company to pay the attorney's fees to defend that,
of course,
rather than having to come up with your own out of
absolutely
your own pocket.
Well, good counsel from Steve Riemann. Gino Thompson, I think we're probably up to our legal topic of the week segment. And, yes, indeed, I can tell from the music that we have reached that particular point in the show, brought to us every week by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. This week we will discuss various issues associated with the legal process called probate, which takes place after someone passes away. Specifically, attorney Melanie McGilvery explains why the heirs of someone who has died cannot transfer real estate without going through the probate process. As part of the probate process, it needs to be proven that a deceased person's will is valid, which is usually a routine matter. The last will and testament will name a personal representative of the estate who has the job of distributing the deceased person's assets. Real property titled in the sole name of the deceased person, or as tenants in common, or husband and wife, cannot be transferred without the court appointment of a personal representative who has the legal authority to act. In New Mexico, a personal representative appointed by the probate or district court has legal authority to sell real property and transfer it to a new owner without a personal representative's deed from the estate of the deceased person. If a deceased owner of property lived outside of New Mexico but owned New Mexico property, a probate proceeding must be processed in New Mexico. Also, if no probate proceeding has been opened in the state where the deceased person resided, then an original probate can be opened in New Mexico. However, and you need to follow all this carefully, if an original probate proceeding is pending in the state where the deceased person resided, then an ancillary probate must be filed in the probate court of the New Mexico county where the real estate is located. If real estate was owned by the deceased person in New Mexico as a joint tenant with rights of survivorship, then a probate proceeding to allow for transfer of the property may not actually be necessary. Under joint tenancy, if one owner dies, his or her portion of the property automatically passes to the surviving joint tenant. This property does not pass to the heirs of the deceased owner. Under this joint tenancy scenario, the surviving owner should record a copy of the previous owner's death certificate in the county clerk's office where the property is actually located. So thanks again to Attorney Melanie McGilvery for providing us with the useful information on a rather sensitive legal topic of the week that everyone with real estate property should take the time to understand. And this was a lot of if this and that and everything else. So if you have your own legal questions regarding probate or you need a little bit more explanation about what I talked about this morning or this afternoon, then I encourage you to go to www.santafe realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and then go to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. What I'm going to do, Steve Riemann, with your permission, is take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. We'll come back and continue our conversation about easements. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Santo Niño Regional Catholic School in Santa Fe is now enrolling new students. At Santo Niño, we strive to make a positive impact on our world by providing excellence in Catholic education. We provide a strong academic program for students and a unique environment in which children grow in knowledge of their world, their God, and their responsibility to each other. We are now accepting 3- and 4-year-old students into our pre-K program, so please call 505-424-1766 for more information or visit our website at santoninoregional.org.
Stevens, a consignment gallery, Santa Fe's premier consignment service. Decorators, dealers, motion picture industries, and your source for quality furniture, antiques, art, silver, jewelry, and estate items. From the funky to the formal, Stevens has what it is that you want. Because new inventory arrives daily, it's likely that Stevens will have that special piece or that functional furnishing that you want. Stevens also offers timely appraisal services, as well as estate and house sales. For over 26 years, Stevens has served the Santa Fe community with trust, integrity, and honesty in all their dealings with their customers. So if you're looking to purchase or are looking to sell, Stevens, a consignment gallery, is your best bet for a successful and pleasant experience. Pickup and delivery are available. Stevens, a consignment gallery, 2701 Cerrillos Road, 471-0802. Open daily from 10 to 5. The world is at your fingertips at Ziggy's International Market. You don't have to leave Santa Fe to find diverse favorites from around the world, including stuffed grape leaves, organic Tunisian olive oil, chutney, exotic drinks, spices, and more. They also offer local foods and meats, from aged organic beef to local organic lamb at farmers market prices. The selection is always growing, bringing the world a little closer to home at Ziggy's International Market at the corner of St. Francis and Cerrillos between Seasons Wine Shop and Tiny's in Santa Fe.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. I'm here today with my special guest, Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title. We're talking about all things easements. We'll come back to that conversation in a moment, but I want to actually ask you if you're thinking about building a new home or updating the one that you're in, converting your garage into living space, or maybe just building a guest house. You know, choosing a contractor is an important decision, and that's why I recommend Major Development Incorporated, a premier developer and builder in Santa Fe with over 15 years of experience. Jeff and Dina Major work with you to ensure a quality and efficient building process that will enhance your home and reflect your style. Now is an excellent time to start your project with Major Development and enjoy 15% off their standard rates. Please call Major Development today at 505-470-0019 for your free consultation or visit them online at www.majordevelopment.net to learn about all of their custom home building services. They are also sponsors of our show. We're delighted to have them as such. Dina and Jeff were on the program last week, and they did a fabulous job. I hope you're listening. Continuing on that score, though, Steve Riemann, I want to break away from easements for a moment and give you a chance to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart. I think it's a garage sale.
It is a garage sale indeed.
Tell the listeners.
We're excited about it. Next Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a garage sale different in the parking lot of our building, which is at 515 Don Gaspar, just next to the Greer Mansion, just off Paseo de Peralta.
And that's a big parking lot, by
the
way.
That is a big parking lot. And we're going to fill it with some of the nicest, oldest, sometimes rattiest, sometimes just funnest furniture that you've ever seen. In merging several of our companies together, and many know that we've purchased Capital City Title, we just have tons of furniture. We're talking desks and office equipment and calculators and typewriter tables and printer tables and furniture and side tables and conference tables and chairs. And literally, our entire carriage house is now packed with furniture, and we're going to put it out at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. All the benefits, all the money goes to the American Red Cross.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So we're not taking any of the money. We'll have drinks and food out there as well.
Great.
Come and join us. Bid on some furniture. Mm-hmm. Please take it home. And please make a generous donation to the American Red Cross at the same time.
That's great. And again, that's going to be?
That's next Saturday, the 8th of August, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And again, the address is?
515 Don Gaspar Avenue.
I suspect a lot of people have come out to that, particularly in these times when, you know, having something that comes from an office that's still in good shape is a lot less expensive than going and buying something brand new. If it works, why not? Right?
Absolutely.
And it's going for a good cause.
Tons of different shapes of tables and size and lengths and heights and you name it. There'll be a lot of furniture out there.
Excellent, excellent. Well, please, I encourage everyone to go on out there to the garage sale for Fidelity National Title, and that's next Saturday at 8 a.m., correct?
That is correct.
All right, well, let's go back to our subject of the day, Steve. That's everything associated with easements. And we've talked a little bit about beneficial easements. Let's talk about something that a lot of people have heard about, and that's called a prescriptive easement.
A prescriptive easement is what we call a quasi-easement. It's quasi because the rights as to who gets to use for what purposes that easement aren't truly yet defined and certified by either an agreement among all the parties or by a judge banging a gavel. There are plenty of folks that will claim a prescriptive right. I've used this driveway for 10 years. It's been continuous. It's been uninterrupted. And so, therefore, I have a prescriptive right. Well, a prescriptive right doesn't become a formal easement until the judge bangs the gavel. One case in point, I have a property on Manhattan Street that we closed a while back where the driveway easement had a water pipe to the rear house running through the driveway easement. And when the water pipe broke and the back house didn't have any property, the back owner claimed an easement for a utility for the water line to run down the driveway. Well, we investigated it, and sure enough, it was a driveway easement only. Mm-hmm. And so there was no right for that woman to have a water line. And she said, well, my water line's obviously been in that driveway for 25 years. But the point of fact is she had no easement for that water line and had to, in turn, purchase an easement from an adjoining neighbor to get water into her house. So defining those easement rights when you're prescriptive, they're very tenuous, and they really need to be either enumerated in a document or agreement or a judge making a decision.
So the listeners understand this. The prescription must be continuous. It has to be not known by the owner, And there's a third element to
this. Well, it's got to be adverse to the owner.
Adverse to the
owner. It's got to be uninterrupted, continuous for 10 years, exclusive to you, and adverse to the owner.
Okay. Now, so I just got another email from Ben. Hi, Ray and Steve, and I think this falls right into what you're just defining. I've been crossing over my neighbor's land most every day to get to my own driveway. I've been doing this for 12 years. Can I acquire some kind of easement?
Yes, you can. You can make a claim for a prescriptive easement, but again, it's going to take either an agreement formalizing it or a judge's decision to formalize it. All the more reason why we're glad to look at the documents or records of file to see what rights people have and what rights people don't have, and then probably send them to counsel to have a good easement agreement written up.
So in this particular case, Steve, Ben's been doing this. He says, I've been doing it for 12 years, most every day. The continuous element is essential. If you skip like a year and don't use it, then you basically lose that time. But isn't there an issue where you can add up time? What's that called?
It's called tacking, where you can add on your years to somebody else's years. And I think this whole discussion just raises the point of how tenuous these rights are. And in a town like Santa Fe, where shared driveways or shared utilities, et cetera, are so common, you need to spend the time to sit down and analyze the rights and then as best you can formalize them. So that you know how they can be extended. We have one in Pecos right now where the a neighbor is asking for an electrical easement. And my concern is not so much that the neighbor is going to use an easement for a small power line. My concern is who lives on the other side of that neighbor, and can this easement be extended so that what is anticipated now as a one-house small utility line becomes a 250-unit development,
right?
And now we're installing utility lines that these monster steel structures. Mm-hmm. So who can extend to those rights, or can they be extended or given over to other people? Those also need to be clearly understood.
And a corollary to this, I just received another email from Sally. Hi, Steve. She obviously is listening to you.
Hi, Sally.
Do I have an ability to contest an eminent domain condemnation of a part of my land by the state? Don't they have to pay me something if I lose my land?
Okay. Not particularly an easement issue, but yes, eminent domain is the right of the government to take the property for beneficial public use. You do have the right to contest a condemnation process, the condemnation process being how eminent domain is implemented. Mm-hmm. But yes, you certainly have the right to contest those values and take them out of the court to make sure that you are thoroughly and rightfully compensated for the land that you're using.
And she would be compensated in most cases. I mean, if the state was taking it for extending the road or whatever, she would certainly be in a position to realize some fair amount of money.
Yes, she should be.
Yeah. You know what, Dino, I think we're, or excuse me, Gino, Dino. It was Dino, Gino, sorry, Gino, Gino Thompson, my producer. We're up to our Hub International segment today, which we haven't had in a while, and what I want to talk about is, we got a little music on that or not? No, we don't. Where is that music? Well, I just want to tell you that this tip is brought by Hub International, and so it's vacation time, and you've been flown to your destination, and you're at the rental car counter. We all have encountered this. That friendly representative asks you if you want to buy the loss damage waiver. Looking at the additional charges this coverage provides, you see that the great deal you got when you rented the car has nearly doubled in price. So you ask yourself, do I really need this waiver? The best solution, talk to your agent. And since all of us who rent our own home, all of us who rent or own our own home have found ourselves in a similar situation, this week I spoke to Bob Pratt, account executive with Hub International, about the ins and outs of rental car insurance. Take a listen to what he had to share with me. Okay, Bob, what does someone's auto insurance policy actually cover?
Well, Ray, assuming you're renting the vehicle in the U.S. or Canada, your policy would provide liability coverage for injury to other people and damage to their vehicle and property. If you carry comp and collision coverage on one of your vehicles, your policy will pay for damage to the rental car, of course, subject to your deductible.
Great, Bob. So the listener who has this coverage doesn't need to worry about coverage or pay those extra charges for a loss damage waiver or for something else, correct?
Well, Ray, the answer is an emphatic maybe. You're responsible for damage to the rental car under the terms of the rental contract, regardless of fault. The rental car company will also charge you for loss of use. That is, their loss of income due to inability to rent the car while it's being repaired. They may also charge you for diminished value and loss of turnback. These charges deal with the lesser value of a damaged car at sale or the inability to turn the car back to the manufacturer in a prearranged deal. The important point here is none of these circumstances are covered by your insurance policy.
So, Bob, I guess my takeaway from your explanation is that I do need to buy the additional coverages offered by the rental car company.
Well, Ray, you at least need to know what your options are, as well as the potential economic risks you take by not getting the additional coverage. The optimum thing to do is to discuss all of this with your insurance agent in advance of leaving for your trip. You're going away for fun. You don't want to be faced with any additional stress on your vacation. Your personal risk management philosophy and economic situation will dictate your decision. So it may well be worth paying the additional amount for the peace of mind during your vacation. Your agent can also advise you of other potential problems when renting vehicles, such things as renting a truck larger than a pickup if you are moving something or someone. If you rent any vehicle for business purposes, your auto policy does not provide coverage. I say that because some small businesses, like a sole proprietorship, insure their business use vehicles on a personal auto policy. Bottom line, talk to your insurance agent before you make that trip.
Once again, great advice, Bob. If you want more insurance tips, please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon, and that will take you right to the Hub International logo. Okay, that was excellent advice from Hub International about something that we all encounter, particularly during the summer months when we're out maybe vacationing and we rent a car. Juno Thompson, my producer, I'm going to take a break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Steve Reiman of Fidelity National Title about all things easements. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.